What's up, everybody? We're back again with a brand new episode. Today's episode is very, very interesting. A lot of violence will be flying, so stay tuned and sit back and welcome to the latest episode of Back on a Podcast. Joy, hope you're well, man.
Yeah, I'm well, but see, guy, I'm pissed. Like a lot of nonsense I've been hearing and reading these past few days. I don't even understand how people think. The United fans, apparent United fans bashing Pogba for praying, and then Infantino with his comments about Africa. Like, I don't even know which one is more stupid, or the CAF president. Like, see, guy.
I'm as pissed as you, and I'll just say to the listeners that please do not take this episode personal. We will not be bashing just our rival clubs. We are bashing everybody, from FIFA president to stupid United fans to Xavi Hernandez and
Chelsea players crying that, oh, Tuchel is too harsh on us.
They've seen Manchester United players cry and now they are copying. It's not a trend.
It's pathetic, honestly.
It's not a trend. So where are we starting from? Let's get down to this thing.
Let's start from what will not piss me off. So let's start from Dusan Vlahovic transfer to Juventus. We actually touched on it on our previous episode. You asked me, I remember the question you asked me, you said, how will he fit into the Juve system? And I told you they don't even have a style of play. And actually, today is his birthday, January 28th. So very weird coincidence that we're talking about him on his birthday on the podcast. So, now I want you to answer that question yourself, because my own answer was there's no style of play. So do you think he'll be a good fit for Juventus?
The thing is, Vlahovic is a different kind of is a different breed when we're talking about strikers. Like he's tall. Like I don't think he will fit into every kind of system. But I think he'll be like, what is it called? Given, if he's used properly in the right system, I think that's where you get the best out of him. But in terms of like saying, it's not that kind of player where when you look at him and you feel like, oh, he'll fit in any kind of system. It just depends on what the manager wants to play. And looking at it, he might fit into that kind of defensive structure where he lays off and lays off the ball, gets into the box, and does his thing, because he's a very, very good finisher of the ball. So,
okay, I was just here thinking, Juventus have been playing a 4-4-2 of sorts with either Morata and Dybala or Dybala and Chiesa when he was fit. But which is used to playing alone up front. Would that make much of a difference, or will you even thrive more with a strike partner up front?
It depends, because now as we know already, Chiesa will be out for a long time. Morata might be leaving to Barcelona.
So much for your prayers and wishes.
There's still... man, God wants to fail me today, but we'll see. But there's still time. But and the case of Dybala, we don't know what's going on with the Dybala situation. So that it looks like Vlahovic will be the lone striker for them. But what's interesting is the deal is actually a very interesting deal, and I'm just looking at the financial structure. So Juventus, we spend like nearly 150 million in this deal. So we all know that the transfer fee for Vlahovic is 67 million euros plus 8 million euros in bonuses. So that is the transfer fee.
And then broken, it's still broken down to easy and hard bonuses. So like you have 4 million at easy bonuses in terms of appearances, goals he will score for Juventus, then hard bonuses in terms of if Juve win the Champions League, if Juve win the league. So yeah, that's it.
No, but I think one thing is sure. Florentina will be getting close to 75 at the end of the day, like guaranteed.
Definitely. I think the first half of you're expecting to score on appearances you make.
Yeah. And even when we look at the salary structure, so his contract is 4.5 years, that's 4.5 years. Then he will be earning 7 million per year, which will now rise to 63 million in the space of that, 4.5 years that he signs. Then agent commission will now be 15 million euros. That is actually a very, very mad and sweet deal for both parties, in my opinion.
So,
the only thing is, if Vlahovic were to flop, that would just be the only downside. But looking at it,
I don't think it's possible. I think Vlahovic is one of these, the next generation that I expect to be at the very top. Vlahovic just below Haaland and Mbappe, just like you have Lewandowski just below Messi and Ronaldo for much of the last decade. That's how I see it. So I think it's impossible for him to flop. Allegri wants to prove me wrong with this information, so we'll see.
So I just want to say hello on behalf of Vlahovic to the Arsenal fans. So hello, Arsenal. Vlahovic is beating you guys. We're just saying, beating around the bush.
Let's not do that. While you're at it, you might as well just say hello to the Spurs fans too, because they were linked to him.
No, but we heard enough noise from the Arsenal fans. But good news for Arsenal, we're hearing they might actually go and pay the release clause for Isaac. So, but we'll see about that if that happens.
Would that be, is it just like, we need a striker, or should they just have? The way I see it is like eggs in the basket, and now it looks like they're panicking.
Yeah, like it might look like they're panicking, but like I don't know if I said this to you. I like Isaac very well. He's pacey. He holds the ball well,
and he's tall.
He's tall, and he knows how to beat players in 1v1 situation. But the thing is, at the end of the day, the Isaac thing will least fit Arteta's system. So I don't know. See, I don't know why we're even bothering about this Isaac thing. Arsenal, they've been linked to players. They can even be linked to Messi. Then who's the sign? So let's just move on. Let's just move on from them.
Since I mentioned Spurs there, let's look at another player Spurs have missed on. Luis Diaz, the winger from Porto. A fee has been agreed between Porto and Liverpool. Because Liverpool actually need another winger. Like, they have Salah, Mane, they have Oxlade-Chamberlain in reserve. Where is he going to play?
Man, let's not do that. Let's not be adding Chamberlain to the conversation, please.
I mean he has done well this January with the absence of the two African stars.
Of course, being in form for 1 month in 5 years. So let's just go back to the players I mentioned, like Salah, Mane. Those guys they're already in their late 30s. So early 30s, they are getting to their early 30s already. So like Klopp needs to start building for the future. So and at the end of the day, looking at the Diaz situation, like it's a very good deal. Colombia, one of the promising properties, has been very exciting for Porto. I won't say like I've seen most of his games, but the little I've seen, I think he has impressed me very well. And one thing I like about all these kind of deals Liverpool do, they don't break the bank. 40 million, you know, they don't break the bank and stop themselves.
And they don't get linked to him for like 6 months without signing him.
Exactly. Like, you know, like this deal was 24 hours ago, woke up, slept and woke up, the deal was done. Like, you know, that is how transfer
is done.
Not pricing and pricing and pricing like you're buying tomato for a Boji market. Like, that is why it's done. You go to the big boys supermarket, shop right, you pay the money and come out. No, instead of going to the street market.
But which other club conducts business like this, like that we admire? I think sometimes I admire the way City go about their business.
City as well. Yeah, City as well. In recent times, I'll give it to City.
Think to people. Yeah, Man City and Bayern as well. You don't hear Bayern being linked to one player for 7 years. All this nonsense. That absolute nonsense that we see with Chelsea and United. United wanted to sign Sancho for 2 years. Chelsea wanted to sign Lukaku for 4 years, and now I see the Lukaku. So, I don't know.
Of course. So, going back to this Spurs thing now we've touched on Liverpool. Liverpool have gotten
a I want to just add something to Liverpool. I think this is going to be a kick up.
Okay.
His back.
I'm
a starter, no matter the rubbish I play, no matter how bad my form is. And I think this is more because that's where Luis Diaz has played most of his football, down the left flank. So this is more like Mane beware, because Salah right now is untouchable, Jota right now is in form. So this is more like Mane beware, in my opinion.
Yeah, like you're right, because when you look at it, Mane has been declining for the past two seasons. Like, he has not been at that top level for a while. So, like, it's more a threat to Mane's position. But I would say,
you know, I'm just smiling.
Why?
Because there was a time where I used to have an argument with people, and they used to tell me Mane was better than Salah. But now, none of them can open their mouth and tell me that's rubbish anymore.
Yeah. Salah, right now, Salah is clear. But the truth is, like,
were you not one of them? You were one of them.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
No, I'll raise my hand and say I was one of them, but like, obviously, Mane didn't work on himself, so Salah has passed him, so that's why I see it. So, going back on Spurs thing, I just want to touch on something. So, Spurs, they've missed out on Diaz, they've now missed out on Traore, they've missed out on Vlahovic, they've missed out on, I've forgotten, is it Bentancur they were linked to? They've missed out on so many players.
I'm not sure they've missed out on him yet. Let's calm down. Not yet. There's still three days.
There's still 3 days for the transfer window to close. So now my question for you is, we've seen this pattern. When Antonio Conte doesn't get what he wants,
everything goes to shit
and he walks. Like, that is his pattern.
I think I will not be surprised to see Antonio Conte walk, but the thing is, he's not going to walk mid-season now. He's going to walk at the end of the season. So what I think is this. I think if Conte gets top, like, let's even say he's fourth on the dot, last day of the season, they sneak in there, I think he will turn around. Ichi, Daniel Levy, I've done a miracle with this club, with these players. Are you going to back me now for us to kick on or not? If they say no, he walks away. He has had a success because he has finished in top four.
But you know, Daniel Levy will say yes, but he will not still end up giving him the players he wants. So
no, like the thing is just like, so the season will end in May. So June, July, if by the end he doesn't see any movement, he walks by early August.
Man, we all knew this relationship between Levy and Conte won't work. Like, what I would just say is, this is 1st of January. January 2023, we'll be talking about another manager, I suppose. Like, I can guarantee you that.
I can't disagree with that at all. You touched on Traore. Okay, now, all fun and games, laughing at Spurs for missing out on him. But is it the caliber of player Barcelona should be signing?
You know this thing, I'll put it two ways. Barcelona, they are clowns. Look at the kind of players they're signing, embarrassing themselves. Like, it doesn't even make any sense. Any Barcelona fan out there trying to rationalize this signing, just know that if Barcelona signs Crouch, you still say it's a good signing. That's how pathetic you people are.
Okay, wait. You're getting triggered because you're used to seeing some glorious players in the past because you're a Barcelona fan. But now let's
I'm not triggered. I'm not triggered. If for anything, there's an undertone to this Traoré signing, and the undertone is Dembélé. We know you're talented, but look at the player we're bringing to replace you. So you're an embarrassment.
You know,
clubs do these things to mock players. It's the same thing with Chelsea.
We were speaking
off air about Christian Pulisic and him complaining about him not getting game time and all. But imagine the players they're using to replace Christian Pulisic. So, like, it's an embarrassment to the player, to the first team player already that is there. That's supposed to be the starter. So, like, looking at it, like, I don't even see a way back for Dembélé. Like, if Dembélé doesn't leave in the next 3 days, I'm telling you, he won't even make one appearance till his contract expires, because they've already made it clear with the signing of Traoré. So it's already clear and obvious with what Barcelona is trying to do here.
A clear and obvious error. So...
exactly. But they won't admit it. They won't admit it. Like the referees, they won't admit it.
So wait. Now, I think this Traoré thing is more like a homecoming, romantic, very touching story. Very touching story because he came from the Barcelona Youth Academy.
I hate all this romantic story. This is not Titanic, Jack and Rose.
But let's look at something. This is a chance for Xavi to prove that he's actually a good coach, because we all know. Traoré has the raw talents. All he lacks is the finishing product, to fine-tune his game. Can Xavi not bring that? You know, like, we talked about Xavi being a decent coach before they hired him. So don't you think he can fine-tune Traoré?
Huh. Man, Traoré has had too many managers. He has played for Barcelona before. They had to ship him because of this end product. He played for Hull City. He played for Wolves. He has had different managers at Wolves already. He has played for Spanish national team. Still no end product. So, like, if Xavi does it, then Xavi is Jesus Christ. I'll give him that. Like, I'm just saying, like, because he has had so many managers and none of them were able to still do this miracle that you're talking about.
I'm actually not banking on it. So, I was just throwing it out there that it's a possibility, but I'm not exactly sure it's going to happen. Anthony Martial to Sevilla on loan. Martial, talented player, which apparently he was so talented that they actually included the Ballon d'Or clause in his Manchester United contract, which is the biggest joke of the century, if you ask me. But can he actually push Sevilla towards consistency? Like, can he find his old form?
I just feel like I can still remember Anthony Martial's first goal for for Manchester United, where he came
back on against Liverpool.
Where he dribbled two players. I think one of them was Skrtel. Like, it was very, very good goal. So looking at that talented young man now, like, there's so much difference. But you can't deny that Martial is still talented. But now the difference for me is this. Sevilla are competing for the title. They are not far off from Real Madrid.
Are they really competing, or are they just the second place?
Now, this is what I want to say now. Sevilla have one of the best defense in Europe. It's very dare to say. I think they are second. I think they are top three. Yeah, I would just say top three. Then, if Martial now can contribute in terms of scoring goals for them, I think they might actually finish well this season and possibly win that league. Martial might even be the difference. Like, this might even be one of Martial's best ever season in terms of him scoring like 10 goals, for Sevilla and getting them that title. Because when you look at it, Sevilla just need one or two key players to push them on so that they can win the title. And Marcia might just be one of them. I know it's a stretch, but I'm just saying Marcia might just be one of them. So that's the way I see it personally.
Yeah. You see the thing that might, that's the problem. Because if you want to mount a title challenge, you should be buying players that you're sure will perform, not might perform. And nobody can be sure about Martial.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's wishful thinking and just us being hopeful for Sevilla. Because at the end of the day, if it works out, man, Sevilla might actually get their first title, La Liga title, in years. So that's just where I sit.
Fingers crossed, especially for you, a Barcelona fan. You don't want Madrid to win. So I'm sure now you're not a Martial fan. Good after.
There's some people like in terms of rivalry, I hate Real Madrid, but Martial disgusts me. Like, I don't.
Isn't that too harsh? Do you think it was more of he just gave up because he was on the bench, not like he lost his hunger for the game or anything? Like, he just gave up on his situation.
Now, you might be right. But we'll see, though. We'll see, like, when club football returns. Like, his feet, there's no injury. So, we'll see if he's ready to kick on.
Yeah. He's international European players. So, we have people like Messi Mount. Take a picture of Messi Mount and Jorginho. I don't know if you've seen it with NBA, with Bam Adebayo. I don't think you watch NBA, but Bam Adebayo plays for Miami Heat, and I don't know how they were even friends at all. You know, celebrities just have a weird way of connecting. You see a race car driver is friends with a tennis player, and you're like, guy, how? So that
it was very strange. What happens is access. Like when you develop a certain type of like you're a nice celebrity, access, for example, the clubs you go into, you see these guys there. The lounge you go into, you see them there. So
or even Instagram, just DM, commenting on each other's posts.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just what it is at the end of the day.
So I just mentioned Mount and Jorginho. So let's now talk about their manager, Thomas Tuchel. He celebrated 1 year in charge of Chelsea on Wednesday. How will you rate his time so far in West London?
It's clear for everyone to see. Like, he has been like top two best coaches in the world, like, since he took over for Chelsea. Top two in the world. Like,
from what time are we measuring this? Is it from last year? Is it from January to now, this January, or just from January to May last year?
Last 12 months. That would be the time frame.
From January to May last year, yes. From January last year to this January, hell no.
Okay. Hold on. He has achieved less than 12 months. So, in the last space of 12 months, he was PSG's manager and he was also Chelsea's manager. So, now he achieved two finals. He won one. He won one. Mm-hmm. And that is Champions League, the most prestigious.
He did not achieve two finals. He got to two finals and failed in one. Continue.
Okay. So yeah, he won the Super Cup. He won best manager in the world.
Sorry. He did not. What was that? Super Cup. What was that? Is Super Cup a trophy that all the teams compete for? No, it's not.
No, it's a trophy that when you achieve a certain criteria, that's winning an European Cup, you will now get to play in the Super Cup. But that's not the point. The point now is he got Chelsea to finish top four. He beat a fantastic City side. And he now became the best manager in the world as well with the honours they gave to him. So, like, a fantastic manager. And I think Chelsea fans will be happy and proud of the manager they have now.
Okay.
What kind of...
With all this... With all this your Tuchel worship, I was thinking that maybe he has won like 90% of his games. I have his record right here in front of me.
Okay, let's hear it.
43, this is Premier League alone. This is Premier League alone. Because we at the end of last season, what we were told was that Chelsea will be title contenders. They are signing a striker. All they need is a striker. If they get Haaland or Lukaku, it ended up being Lukaku. That now, this is the final, this is the missing piece in the jigsaw, in the puzzle, everything. They are going for perfection. Thomas Tuchel has managed 43 Premier League games. Obviously, we know his season is 38 games. 43 Premier League games. How many of those games do you think he has won?
Looking at the way Chelsea draw games, I think he has won, like, let's say 35.
Are you...
Huh? What's going on?
Is that a joke, okay?
Huh?
He has won 24 out of 43 games. Now, you tell me that is a person that is among the top two coaches in the world. Let's be serious.
That's shambolic. That's shambolic. But wait.
13 draws. Let me just finish it. 13 draws. 13 draws and just 6 defeats. I said just 6 defeats because that's actually low in terms of the games. But the draws are just too many.
Yeah, the draws are just too many. But at the end of the day, you need to like compare it because there's a stat where I saw that like it's only Manchester City that have gotten more points than Chelsea since Tuchel took over.
Okay, wait. So should we applaud them for that? Because I don't understand. Are you not competing with Man City? So we should clap for you that Man City have more points than you.
No. I'm not saying we should clap for them. Like I'm just saying, like, you know, currently Man City is the standard. So if they are able to match Man City, like being close to them, that means it's a step in the right direction. That's what I mean by that. I'm not saying like it's an achievement being close to Man City.
The only criteria or the only place that they've topped Man City, apart from the Champions League final itself, is they have 21 clean sheets, 43 Premier League games. Since that's both Mendy and Kepa together, and that's the most since Tuchel took charge, 21 clean sheets.
Wow, that's a very good record. This is why he's up there. That's a very good record. Not many clubs can boast of that. That's very, very good. That's very good.
Fans think I must Tuchel. No, that's not it. I'm meeting him, but how will I put it? If you take away the Champions League success, it has not been great. It has just been average. But when you put the Champions League success, it has been fantastic. Like,
now,
I don't know.
We can do that to so many managers. If you take away this and this, you know, we can do that to so many managers. So it's unfair to say that.
Oh, you want me to be whole, not...
Yeah, if you judge him as a whole, he has been okay. He has been very good for Chelsea. So, but I think this season will be the deciding factor. If he doesn't make top four this season, then he's gone. Definitely he's gone because we all know how Chelsea hierarchy does with managers that doesn't
achieve the thing. So you think that's the only way they sack him if he misses out on top four?
Yeah, I think so. But I think... But I think if he, for example, if he wins the, what is it called, the Club World Cup that's taking place, then if he wins the EFL Cup,
Chelsea versus the League Cup.
Then if he finished top four, I think he'll be all right.
Okay, now let me ask you this question. Let me agree with you that he can win the Club World Cup, which they have no business not winning. If they repeat their clownish behavior from 2012, then I don't even know what to call Chelsea anymore. I think they are the only European champions that have failed to win it since like 2005 or something like that, which is just incredible to say. So we have a case of. What happens if they finish 20 points behind City or even worse than that and they are still in top four? Is that good enough?
No, nah, that's not good enough. No, that's not.
But you know, but you said top four. You said top four.
Well, we see. There are different, like, there are nuances to this thing. But at the end of the day,
now we're shifting goals.
No. I'm not saying. I'm at the end of the day. It just depends on the manner at which Chelsea finishes. Because, like, if Chelsea were to now like drop way off from City, like, it would be very, very shameful considering the investment Chelsea have put into the club for him to compete this season. So that's just it.
I think fair enough. We talked on player unrest that got me pissed off because I hate when players alleged player unrest because there's no proof, but it's being said in the British tabloids that Chelsea players, especially the forwards, people like Kai Havertz, Timo Werner, Christian Pulisic, and the likes, they get upset and sad that Thomas Tuchel demands too much of them. He rotates the squad, so they are not happy, they are not starting every match. What sort of nonsense is this? You're not playing well, so why will you start every match? And your manager cannot shout at you?
Man, see, like, when we do this thing on podcasts, and sometimes I do it on Twitter, and I will start doing it on TikTok as well. Guys, those that are listening, understand that we're not bashing players, or we're not trying to be rude to players. This is something that Josh and I will never do. We'll just criticize players for their behavior in football, not outside football, like the Manchester United fans. But why would you police the man?
I don't know which one is worse.
Like, this thing is getting embarrassing. Like, for football generally, like, if we talk about this thing now, we'll say, some people will say, this is, but at the end of the day, these guys are earning ridiculous amount of money. At the end of the day, this is their job. It's a job. You have to,
but careful. Woke society will tell you that you should care about that the coach for their mental health.
No. Like, mental health is something that I'm very, very, I'm a big advocate of. Like, it's good. We should always make sure that our mental health is healthy enough so that we can actually perform as human beings.
Yeah, definitely.
But at the end of the day, now people are exploiting this mental health thing. And I think there needs to be a check on it. There needs to be a balance on it. So that's just where I feel about it personally.
I totally agree with everything you said. So, but Chelsea gave an interview a few days ago, and he was saying that this year has been up and down for him, that he has, like, enough games, like, he would have loved to have started, and that even the ones he started were not in his best position. I think that's fair. I don't think it's like the Lukaku, he hasn't come out to bash Thomas Tuchel or anything. I think it's okay for you to say, I'm not fully happy. We don't expect him to be happy bench. Do you have any problems with this interview?
You see the problem. Players demanding things that are not realistic. I can ask for helicopter. I can ask for yacht. Maybe, yeah. Because I can't afford it. So,
wait. Do you want him to be happy that he's on the bench? You just said he's not happy.
No. I'm not saying happy. But there's a reason for you being on the bench. Like, I keep saying this thing.
What's the reason?
The reason is As shit as Osinodor is still better than you. Do you understand? As shit as...
Let me put it like this.
As poor, just hear me out. As poor as Odoi is, Odoi still starts ahead of you. As poor as Ruben Loftus Cheek is, and and Ross Barkley are together, they will still start ahead of Pulisic. You need to look at the mirror and say, why is this happening?
I don't think. Okay, so the thing is, I agree with you to an extent, but Pulisic has been played as a right wing back, an emergency right wing back when Chris James was injured and Chalobah was injured at the same time.
No.
That's unfair on him. That's not his position.
No, one sec. This is something I will not agree with. Yes, I will agree. He has played right wing back. I will agree. Yes, he has played right wing. His main position is anywhere, left wing. I don't even know where his main position is again because he has been switched around so many times. But no one will sit here and say they've not tried him in his main position. They've tried him and he's not still giving.
And he has played that. He has played. He has still played as 9. So when he has been in the team, he has not played this position recently. That's recently.
These are excuses now. Like it's getting irritating because at the end of the day, players cannot pick and choose where they start every game. But what you can at least guarantee from a player is giving you a decent performance. But this guy, Christian Pulisic, has not been able to give decent performances. And we're not seeing Chelsea being linked to Dembele, another clown. Chelsea, I don't know what is happening at that club.
Wait, is it not the same Dembele that is now in talks with Barcelona that he wants to stay at the club? Like, the same Dembele that is confused.
You know, we said this thing. When a club doesn't rate you, it's very obvious. Like, for example, now, when they were seeing the Adama Traore links 3 days ago, everyone's thinking, play. Then, boom, when they now hear Traore will be traveling yesterday to Barcelona today, then Dembele's agent now came to Barcelona. We're now hearing, oh, Dembele really wants to stay, wants to sign. Boom, now Traore is
out. Of course.
So now you want to sign when they've been begging you since. You see, listen. Clubs at the end of the day protect themselves as much as we come here and try to protect players. But let's be real, some of all these players, they've really disappointed themselves, like in the way they've conducted themselves in business wise and even on the pitch.
I think that was for Dembele, right? Not Pulisic, because I don't think Pulisic has been that bad.
Now, Pulisic has been able to conduct himself very well off the pitch. But I'll just say he needs to start performing well because the form he showed at Dortmund was very, very good. But at the end of the day, he's right now proving the saying that Americans
We don't do that here. We support everybody to play football. Emphasis on football, not soccer. Yes, we want everyone to love football.
Don't worry.
Thank you very much.
The way Chelsea be moving, I think you understand this joke because you're the one that told me Christian Pulisic will be on the roster very soon.
That's a basketballer. So basketball, you know what we call a squad in football? It's called a roster in the NBA. So there's a report I saw, and then they were talking about a club. I think it was Barcelona or somebody, like Serginho Dest. Barcelona was like, what? Barcelona roster. see, guys, Americans listening to this, I love all of you. I mean, I'm the same with you guys. I love you. Please, bonus soccer, and it is squad, not two star. Thank you very much.
Educative second TED talk.
Yeah, always. Okay, so Watford are nearly surprised family.
Yeah, I don't. Personally.
Before it was sacked. So two questions now. Would they regret sacking his communions, or do they just regret hiring this place?
Repeat the last question. You said, would they regret what?
I said, do they regret sacking Cisco, or do they just wish they had hired somebody else instead of Ranieri to replace him?
The question is, like, there's no right answer to your question, but I'll just say it. Even if they hired, Pep Guardiola, they will relegate. Like,
come on. Roy Hodgson is now their new coach.
When they say your destiny is sealed. Your destiny.
Roy Hodgson has never been relegated in his career. He's 75 years of age, I think. Very experienced. Okay,
remember Sam Allardyce? Do you remember Sam Allardyce's record? Do you remember?
Yes, I do. That West Brom, unfortunately.
Okay.
So, are they doomed? There's nothing Hodgson can do.
You see, there's nothing he can do. He's not Jesus Christ. He's not like he's a human being at the end of the day. He has achieved so many things in his very, very long career. So, but at the end of the day, like, there's nothing he can do here because they've left it too late. They've not improved the team. And when you look at it, like, if they pull it off, like, it would be one of the great escapes. That's what I'll just say.
Yeah. Okay, so the four teams are at the bottom now. I think definitely three of them are going down. You have Burnley, Newcastle, Watford, Norwich. Who stays up?
Burnley, Newcastle, Watford, Norwich. Burnley is definitely going down. Like, I've seen their averageness. Like, let me just put it like that.
But they are being linked with two attacking signings. Like, if they can sign those two players before the end of this month, any hope?
There's no, if they like, let them sign Messi and Ronaldo, they are going down. next one is Watford, Newcastle. Now, here's the thing. I think the way it would be.
What of Norwich?
I think the way it would be is if Hodgson come and they turn teams around, I think the escape will be between these three clubs, Watford, Newcastle, Norwich. One of them will stay up. Just one of them. But the danger here is Everton might be sucked into this, and it will be interesting to see.
I think it depends on who their next manager is.
It depends. But I'm hearing Lampard. And so, me hearing Lampard. I love you, lad. I don't know why you're laughing. You're laughing. I don't know why. I love you, lad.
That lad just has gone for you.
So, okay. Let me just forget about what I want to say about Lampard. Just forget about it. Scratch that. But what I'll just say is one of the interesting things I want to see in this Premier League this season. I think the title is done and dusted. I think
Pep Guardiola. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have Leonard being a coward. I gave him four teams. Just tell me one that will stay up. He was beating around the bush, telling me one out of these three will stay up. What sort of person are you?
I asked you for your, what is it called? Your score.
No,
your
That's different.
I asked you for your FPS score. You didn't want to answer. So now I'm being a coward, man. You see how we move the goalpost. No problem. I hear you.
Okay, enough. I think Newcastle might just be buying survival. That's all I'll say. Because they've signed Bruno Guimaraes. They've signed Kieran Trippier. They are still being linked with a left-back, Bakka from Leverkusen. I think they might just buy survivor at the end of the day.
They might, but remember, this is the Premier League. Most of those players will not survive in the Premier League. Like, that's just the truth. So, but if they are able to make sure those players gel together, then they might be able to pull it off. But I doubt it.
We wish all of them the best. At the end of the day, only one will survive. So it will be interesting to see. Now, this is the time where, warning Leonard, this is the part where both of us will get upset. Let's start with Pogba. Pogba was insulted by United. I think United fans generally, obviously, might be other people as well joining in. Because he's a Muslim, he posted himself praying. I don't know. This was just terrible to see.
Like I was telling you, before what is it called? Before we recorded, like Real Madrid fans and Barcelona fans, I've not seen anyone so toxic, especially the ones that live in Spain. All of them, they are very toxic. But we had
booing their own players and everything.
Yeah, they bash their own players, they bash their legend, they bash their stars. But you can hardly see them like deviate from the football part of it. So, for example, you remember when Gary Bale posted that Wales golf and that nonsense.
Wales golf Madrid, in that order.
That nonsense he did that year. So, like, they abused Gary Bale, but Gary Bale faced so many abuse. But I feel like abusing a player is too much. But criticizing a player, that is where a player can take criticism. But now, I didn't see.
But then, if you're abusing, it should not even be like the guy's religion, for God's sake.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Now, how can you come sit down there because you're behind a screen and start abusing someone's religion? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, if anyone does that thing, there's something wrong with the person. Like, you need to seek help. Your mental health is fucked up. You need help. Like,
should I say something to Leonard?
Yeah, listen.
We see people on the road, we see people in churches, in the market.
Okay.
Most people are not normal in this world, trust me. If you have conversations with them, you know that they are not normal. They just look normal.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you. So then, I just wish all the best for Pogba. And I've been saying this thing already. It's time for Pogba to leave Manchester United. Simply because, number one, the fans has never appreciated him since he came to the club. He has always had issues with the fans every single time. Look at him. He has been out for 3 months, but they still blame him for what is still going on at the club. So he needs a fresh start. Since he came there 6 years ago, he has not really achieved anything. He has just won, the Europa League and the League Cup. That's all he has achieved. And he's already close to you. He's living his prime. He's already 28 years old. He will be living his prime very soon. So he needs to consider his future. He should go to somewhere like PSG. Possibly, I think Juventus will even take him back. Because when you think of it, he's living for free again. So, and this is bashing to Manchester United. This is the second time they'll be losing Pogba for free. So at the end of the day, like, Juventus are collecting him for free might actually be the perfect story, and I think he will do well again in Turin. So I think I wish him all the best in his future endeavors.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better myself in terms of he has to leave, though I don't necessarily agree with the Juve return. I think PSG might be better because an easier league, his country, French. So I think that might be better than UV, but I don't know. I'm not his agent, so we'll see. But wish him the best. Infantino, your FIFA president, because I've washed my hand. I don't know who that guy is anymore. Like, he's no more my president. He's your FIFA president. He came out this week to say, I'm even feeling sick and irritated about to read this. He said, he was talking about, if we think about the rest of the world and the vast majority of Europe, then we have to think about what football brings. Football is... He now said we need to find ways to include the whole world to give hope to Africans. Give hope to Africans. so that they don't need to cross the Mediterranean in order to find a better life, but then probably find death in the sea. So now he thinks that playing World Cup every 2 years will give money to Africans and so that people will not be dying in the sea. Like,
God. I've seen enough in football. Like, I'll just say this. Like, one of the reasons why Infantino will be saying all this kind of nonsense is simply because of Africans themselves, stupid people, embarrassing themselves, doing all sort of nonsense. That's why they'll
I can't even justify this.
Let me just land. Well, one of the reasons why Africa face all these kind of things is because of Africa themselves, because we don't conduct ourselves well. Then secondly, Florentino Perez, people will come and say, these guys are professionals, they know what they are doing, World Cup every 2 years.
Infantino, you said Florentino Perez.
Oh, no. Sorry. I confuse all these guys. Like, they are the same, but Florentino Perez, at least, he has higher IQ than all of them, like, combined. So, excuse my error. So, back to Infantino, the bald guy. So, these guys, they'll say, they know what they are doing, World Cup every 3 years, blah, 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 making up excuses because they are professional and you expect them to know more than us. But I'm telling you, they don't know anything. In Nigeria, we call these kind of people lodo. Like, they don't know anything. They just come out, say whatever they like, and think they know what they are saying because they are wearing suit and tie. Like, they don't have any sense. Let me just be real with you. They don't have any sense.
This was ignorant. His statement was ignorant, foolish, and there's no explanation or excuse for it. Normally, I'm against apologies for players, but the
next press conference. No. He might not apologize. He might just come out and say the next press conference. He might come out and say, "Well, I made my statement because when people stop crossing the Mediterranean Sea pollution will stop. There'll be waste will reduce. Then you're not saying what 3 years might reduce. It will reduce global warming as well and climate
change. And world hunger.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, they will just make up things because they are white people and say whatever they want to say. Well, that's their business, man. That's their business. I'm tired of speaking about these guys. They just embarrass themselves every chance they get.
Man. I don't even think the average white man can make such a statement. I just think it takes a level of stupidity that is unique to Infantino.
Yeah, exactly.
So now let's just end with the AFCON now. But before we get to the fixtures, your CAF president, I've also washed my hands from this guy. Your CAF president, you know, normally if there's a World Cup, the FIFA president watches the matches in the country there live, watches the games live. If there's Euros, the UEFA president watches games live. But your CAF president has been away on business. He has not been AFCON. Please, can someone make this make sense to me?
Man, like, I don't even know the excuse I want to give him, but that was a very poor way to conduct himself. So he has embarrassed Africa, he has embarrassed himself, he has embarrassed his office and the position he's
holding. Is there any excuse for it? Is there any excuse? Like, maybe his family member was sick, emergency. Is that the only excuse we can give him?
I don't, honestly,
that wasn't even the case. That wasn't the case. But, like, I'm just asking, would that have been a good excuse?
That is not even good enough. But at the end of the day, like, I'll just hold up my hand as an African and say, it's embarrassing to hear and to see that kind of way. And he shouldn't be conducting himself like that. Like, that's just...
Although he has watched some games, but, like, he just left. He was like, yo, I'm tired of this. So he got no, bored,
or another way to look at it is, Africans, we like copying the white men. We try to be like the Europeans. And he might just be looking at it and be less saying, let me copy these Europeans. Because they do it too. They do it to the differences.
What he's thinking is maybe club owners don't come to watch their club above. That's different from this.
Like you know, it's not the final. Like, it's not the final. Like, for example,
So the final deserves to be watched. Okay.
No. Most times.
According to him, not you.
You're joining us together. No problem. I see what you're doing. No problem. Shameless. As usual.
Now, on a sad note, fans lost their lives. The Cameroon versus Comoros clash. Fans lost. 8 fans have been reported dead, 38 or so injured, and hopefully no one else dies. We wish that the souls of the departed rest in peace, and we send our condolences to the families. This is very, very sad to see.
Yeah, it was sad. It was sad to hear, but as you said, like, our prayers and thoughts are with the families of for those that lost their loved ones.
Now back to matters on the field. Nigeria is out. A lot of Nigerians have lost interest in the AFCON, but there are still some big teams. There's still Cameroon, there's still Morocco, there's still Egypt. Who do you think can win it all? There's still Senegal.
Personally, I would say I would like it to go back to Black Africa again. I want us to retain the title, because I don't like it going to North Africa, because most times these guys, they think they're better than the rest of Africa because of their advancement.
Actually, they are.
In terms of their
organization, football and otherwise.
I will not lie and say they are not, but the truth is, like, sometimes, like, we can say they can be racist about all these things, because, like, they feel like they are superior to the rest of us because of the way everything is. So, but at the end of the day, I'm not trying to, let me just go back to it as football. But as football, I think the North African teams, they look very, very solid. They know how to play the game very well. And they might just...
I think just Morocco for me. I don't see Egypt winning it.
And there's Tunisia as well. So, he might actually go back.
I think for me, I'm looking at Morocco, Senegal, or Cameroon.
Personally, I like Cameroon to win it, but we'll see at the end of the day. But my own prediction would be Cameroon winning it, but I won't be surprised if it not.
I'll say two things now, or I'll go at it from two ways. I think Morocco will win it, but I don't want them to win it. You know why?
Okay. Why?
The coach. And his problem with Hakim Ziyech. I hate when managers and players...
Yeah, I get the angle you're seeing.
I hate when managers and players argue. And obviously, who is now lying? Is it Ziyech or is it the coach? No one can prove it. So imagine that Ziyech is not the one lying. And then he watches his teammates win the trophy and he's in Chelsea. Do you know how painful that would be for him? So I just think that... And then imagine that would have been that the coach was right all along for just throwing him away. So just for that question mark over Ziyech, I would say I don't want them to win. And so who I would now want to win it would be Senegal. They've never won it before.
So if Senegal win it, that would be very, very good for Sadio Mane. But we'll see.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you guys for listening. Please try not to make bad mistakes like Barcelona and Ousmane Dembele. And also work on yourself so you'll not be rejected like Spurs and Arsenal. So, yeah.
Thank you for the advice, Monsieur.